several miles off the main highway, tucked away in a secluded canyon on prime vineyard property, stands a rustic barn that was built many decades before the vines around it were planted. In that barn, a sophisticated broadcast and recording studio has been built. The barn also has a well-hidden root cellar stocked with many of the world's most exceptional wines, only to be shared with guests who secretly come to offer their insights and tell their stories. Guests are sworn to secrecy and are shuttled to the studio aboard a John Deere tractor. Those who cannot make the journey in person are interviewed by satellite hookup, and sometimes the crew simply sneaks away with microphones in hand and interviews guests in barrel rooms, wine cellars, and other magical places. All of this is done like clockwork every single week, so that we can bring you another episode of Grape Encounters Radio.
Yes, sirree, you're gonna have to face it. You're addicted to love, and the love holiday is just a little more than a week away. So it's David Wilson here with Grape Encounters Radio, and today we're gonna have on some of our most romantic friends, including our dear friend Keith Sarlos of Sarlos & Sons in Los Olivos, California. Hey, Keith, you are a diehard romantic, aren't you?
I like to do romantic things. I'm not very good at it, but I'm romantic in my own way.
You know, the first time that we were ever on the air with Grape Encounters Radio, we recorded at the Sarlos & Sons Wine Tasting Room in Los Olivos, California.
The flagship day.
It was, and it was just about around your grand opening. And I was actually very surprised when you and I started talking about what a sappy guy you are, actually.
Oh, gosh. You're going to ruin my reputation, man.
No,
I can't have this.
No, you're very imposing to look at. You're a big guy, you know, and you've got a menacing presence. In fact, you've even described yourself as a barrel-chested loudmouth, right?
Yeah, that's more apropos than, I think, romantic.
But there was something that you said when I was tasting your Syrah.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking this was about a year and three quarters ago, and you described it as being like the scent of a woman's neck.
Yeah, right behind her ear.
Yeah, that little indentation, right?
Yeah, where you bury your nose when you give her a big, huge hug.
And you said that you never had forgotten the first time you kissed your wife, and I guess you took that experience and decided to make wines that sort of mimicked that, right?
I guess nice part about what we get to do is when we grow grapes, you fall in love with a lot of flavors, and you fall in love with a lot of tastes, and for our family, you kind of bring it back to what it reminds you of, or some of the most important moments of your life. And if a little bit of Syrah smells like the neck of my wife, man, I'm doing something right.
There you go. Well, I wanted to talk to you and some of our really good friends on Grape Encounters Radio on today's show, because we're a week and a day away from Valentine's Day, or a week and 2 days, I think, something like
that.
And I wanted to talk wine and romance, because if anybody's going to weave wine into their romantic moments on Valentine's Day, then I wanted to bring in some of my experts to give some advice, because I don't think there's anything more romantic on earth than wine. Agreed?
Man, I'm tired of being right.
Okay, so I had a few questions for you, Keith.
Bring them. Let's hear them.
Yeah, and then I'm going to ask some of our other friends. We're going to have a little bit later on Amy Riley, who is the author of the Love Diet Cookbook, and also our friend Wes Hagen, who really also has one of those great romantic relationships with his wife. So anyway,
yeah, I just had lunch with Wes a couple days ago.
Oh, good, good, good to hear that. Well, listen, so first of all, I wanted to ask you, when was the first time that you actually had wine on a date?
Jeez, that's a great question. To be honest with you, it was mostly beer and hard liquor towards my, early age, and a lot of shots. But I think the first time I actually had wine was on a date with my wife, to be honest with you.
Now, I mean, she wasn't your wife at the time, though, right?
No, actually, and she was only 20 years old, so maybe I shouldn't have said that out loud.
Ooh. I don't know. I think you could actually get arrested for that. And do you have any idea what kind of wine it might have been that you took on that date?
You know what? It was, to be honest with you, it was a bottle of champagne that we had the day we got engaged.
Okay, so here's a question. Was your goal to get romantic? Was frisky endeavors?
No, my goal was to be honest with you, 100%, what my goal was to do was to open a bottle of wine to celebrate and to cap off an evening. and put it in the right mood. And, you know, the bottom line, it was just kind of the liquid love letter, if you will, of my engagement with my wife. And I'm stealing liquid love letter from a good friend of mine, Matt Canner, who's actually making an album called Liquid Love Letter. He's a great guy. You should have him on the show sometime.
Oh, you know what you should really do is you should also make a wine called Liquid Love Letter.
We are working on that. Liquid Love Letter will become a wine one day. I can guarantee it.
Okay, so here's a question for you. Okay, Valentine's Day is coming, and I guess my first question is, who do you think should take the initiative on Valentine's Day? Should it be the man, should it be the woman, or should it be both?
You know what? I think this one's for the ladies, to be honest with you. A little-known holiday is beer and chicken, which is about 2 weeks after Valentine's Day. That's for the guys. Your wife brings you basically a whole chicken and a bunch of beers, and you get to sit on the couch and watch sports until you pass out. But Valentine's Day, you know what? My wife and I, we have a standing rule that, and this is kind of against your show a little bit, but we celebrate Valentine's Day very mellow. You know, we tell each other we love each other, but because we have to do it, it takes a little bit away from it. Our favorite day is usually a couple days after Valentine's Day, and we actually go and really celebrate each other, to be
honest
with you.
Okay, so first of all, I don't think it goes against the grain of the show, because the show... the show is about is about getting real and being down to earth.
Absolutely.
And not doing everything just because Hallmark says you have to do it.
Oh, man,
you know?
If somebody says I have to do it, it's the last thing I want to do.
Okay, so now we've got, you know, tens of thousands of listeners out there.
Absolutely.
They've got a week plus to make some decisions about wine.
Yeah.
Okay, since you think it's a holiday for the women, so
sure.
We're going to give some advice to the guys right now.
Let's do it.
I want advice. We got a minute and a half. I want advice about what the guys should do wine-wise. What should
they? Rosé champagne.
You're saying champagne.
Always rosé champagne for a day like that.
Rosé champagne.
Rosé champagne is something it'd be. It's really nice to have with appetizers. It's really nice to have early on. It's fun to open a bottle with your bare hands as a guy, or if you really want to get into it, get it nice and ice cold and whip out a saber and saber it off.
Oh, that's great advice.
I love it.
That was worth
it. If you want to show your wife that, hey, and here's my 2 cents. Valentine's Day is a day that you should show your wife why she fell in love with you. And you were a loud mouth like I am, or, you know, you did something stupid. You changed the oil on her car without her asking. You go get her tank topped off. You actually throw your socks in the hamper. And then when you get a chance to have a dinner, you did that all during the day. So she knows you thought about her all day. And then when you come home, open the bottle of wine like a man.
With a saber.
Oh, grab the biggest cleaver you got in your drawer and try to go for it. And if it fails, you know what? You got a great story between each other.
All right,
and then drink the wine straight from the bottle. Kiss her on the mouth like you mean it, and then fall in bed and forget what day it is.
All right, Keith, that's all we got for this segment. Keith Sarlos, Sarlos and the Sons. Go to sarlosandsons.com. You can find the link on Grape Encounters Radio. Keith, that was worth people tuning in for. Open a bottle of pink champagne with a saber. Lots more love and Valentine's tips on Grape Encounters Radio coming your way.
Get it on.
Hey, we are just getting started. We're going to break open the really good stuff any minute now on Grape Encounters Radio. Here on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
Looking for a really good wine club to join? I really recommend the original Wine of the Month Club. It's a really terrific wine club, and you will find a link to the Wine of the Month Club over at GrapeEncountersRadio.com. This isn't a shameless paid endorsement. We're endorsing the Wine of the Month Club because we really, really believe in what they're doing over there, and we really think the quality of their products are out of this world. Also, just for fun, on GrapeEncountersRadio.com, you will find a link to Papa Burt's, where you will find the wine sports bra. Yes, indeedy, it's a bra that you can fill up with a full bottle of your favorite wine. It is simply the best invention that we've found in a long time. So check out what we've got to offer over at GrapeEncountersRadio.com, and be sure to also visit all of our other friends who are linked to GrapeEncountersRadio.com. Check it out, folks. A little over a year and a half ago, I was doing some wine tasting in Los Olivos, California, and I accidentally wandered into a new tasting room called Sarlos & Sons, and at the time I couldn't even pronounce the name. But boy, can I pronounce it now, because the Sarlos family has become great friends with Grape Encounters Radio. And not only are they a great family to know, they make some of the best wines that I've ever tasted, and they are staples in my household. So I want to steer you over to sarlosandsons.com, because if you're looking for wines that you can buy that you know are going to be absolutely fabulous, then this is the place to go. No matter what you pay for their wines, I guarantee you that you will find an absolutely outstanding value at Sarlos & Sons. There's not a single wine on their wine list that will disappoint you. This is really, really something that I can recommend with all my heart and soul. It's sarlosandsons.com. The Sarlos wines are absolutely out of this world.
A tropical island vacation doesn't have to mean long lines at security, crowded flights, and a huge travel budget. You'll find breathtaking ocean views, tropical breezes, exceptional dining and shopping, plus hundreds of ways to have fun on land and sea, just 26 miles off the Southern California coast, on enchanting Catalina Island. And there's absolutely no better way to enjoy everything that Catalina has to offer than in your own private Catalina Island vacation rental. Catalina Island Vacation Rentals offers you the choice of nearly 200 island homes, cottages, and condos, including an amazing selection of beautifully appointed Hamilton Cove villas, which offer sweeping ocean views and even come with a golf cart. Savor a special glass of wine on your private balcony and let the magic of Catalina sweep you away. All Catalina Island Vacation Rental properties can be viewed online at catalinavacations.com. Make yourself at home with Catalina Island Vacation Rentals. You'll find your perfect island getaway at catalinavacations.com. And now, your grape encounter continues. How sweet or dry it is on grapeencountersradio.com.
And it's the a little bit more than a week before Valentine's Day edition of Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson, your host. And I am tuning in with all of my favorite regular guests on Grape Encounters Radio, including the one that we could not do a Valentine's show without, the inimitable Amy Riley. She is the author of the Love Diet Cookbook and, of course, one of the world's leading experts, or perhaps really the leading expert, on the aphrodisiac qualities that are found not just in food, but in wine. Hey, Amy, what's going on?
Not too much. I'm actually, it's funny, I'm laying in bed as we talk.
Oh, my God. You know what? This is something that we have aspired to do for a very long time, is to interview Amy Riley in bed. I guess I almost feel obligated to say, what are you wearing? But that's for other shows, not for us. But anyway, Amy, this is a big time of the year for you. This is where people ask you their advice, because you're kind of the love expert, man. I know you do some special things on your website for Valentine's Day, right?
We do. In fact, I was just working today. Our website, eatsomethingsexy.com, just did a survey of 380 people and their perception of aphrodisiac foods. And what we found in the results, what we were looking for, was to find out if people really, some of the power of aphrodisiacs is in your mind, or if it's all physiological. But a byproduct of the survey was that we found that we could really get information from people on what they want as a romantic gesture, what they want for Valentine's Day. We found people want to have a meal cooked for them. They want someone to come over and woo them with a bottle of wine. And they particularly found champagne to be an aphrodisiac. So, kind of cool. That's what we're working on right now. And you can find the whole rest of the story starting, well, by Valentine's Day, it'll all be on our website, Eat Something Sexy.
Of course, by Valentine's Day, it's going to be a little late. So that's why we want to scoop this story right now.
Actually, you've got the first nugget of advice.
Okay, so we talked in the last segment with our friend Keith Sarlos out at Sarlos & Sons, and Keith is a diehard romantic. Keith says that it's definitely a pink champagne holiday, and that if a man is worth his salt, that he should open that champagne bottle by hacking off the cork with a saber. What do you say?
Well, first of all, you don't want to hack off the cork.
Come on.
Because then part of it would be stuck in the bottle. But if you happen to own a saber for some reason and you want to, what you actually do with the saber is sort of fling it off as though the bottle has been shaken up and the cork comes flying out. It's the same effect. So it's kind of hot. I think it's really more the fact of the man holding the saber, you know, wielding his saber is really probably the hottest part of the whole thing. But if you don't know what you're doing with a saber, I don't advise making Valentine's your first attempt, because a trip to the ER is not sexy.
Could you see this guy, you know, swinging the saber and then all of a sudden an index finger goes flying across the room?
That's sexy.
I would do that. But if you did cut your finger off, it could become a romantic gesture you could hand to your date or your loved one.
Do you have any control over how creepy you allow yourself to get?
Moving on.
That's what I was thinking. That gives all new meaning to giving somebody the finger. Okay, so here's a question that I asked Keith. I got to ask you. Is Valentine's Day a holiday for the women or a holiday for the men or both?
In my world, it's a holiday for Hallmark. I believe that every day when you're in a romantic relationship or want to be in a romantic relationship and have found that person, every day should be Valentine's Day or at least once a week. So, you know, I don't think of Valentine's Day as a day for men or for women. I think it's a day of pressure.
If we think of
every day as Valentine's Day, then it's a day for everyone, isn't it?
It is a day of pressure. And so is Mother's Day and Father's Day. And I don't know who invented all those stupid holidays, but you know what? We're stuck with Valentine's Day all the same. And, you know, even if your loved one says, you know what, don't worry about it. We don't have to celebrate it. I think they still expect something, don't they?
Well, I can only speak for my own relationship. And no, we refuse to celebrate that holiday. But trust me, we celebrate romantically the whole year through. So, you know, we miss nothing and there is no pressure and it's quite lovely. That being said, I do think that if you're in a traditional relationship, you might want to think about doing something. But here's my bit of advice. Don't think about doing something for the other person. Think about doing something for the two of you. And that way, you know, rather than just putting a bunch of pressure on yourself, look forward to something. Look forward to something that you can share.
Okay, so let's work wine into the equation, shall we? I mean, first of all, do you think, I mean, forgetting the aphrodisiac qualities in wine, do you think in general that wine improves a relationship? I mean, sharing wine.
Heck yeah.
Well, and I don't think it's even just the alcohol. It's just the idea that when you open up a bottle and you share it with somebody, it's a bonding experience. I mean, let's say, for instance, if you opened up a Pepsi or a Coke, you know, that's not for sharing, you know, that's just for drinking. But wine is something that by its very nature is really meant for sharing. And I think it brings people together, right?
Well, absolutely. And the reason I laughed and went, heck yeah, is because you didn't specify if you meant romantic relationships. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know. I feel I bond with anyone I open a bottle of wine with. It's improved all kinds of relationships.
Oh, no. There's absolutely... Yeah. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Hey, so let me ask a question. When was the first time that you had wine on a date? Do you remember?
Oh, my goodness. I don't. I'm sorry.
It's good.
I've had wine on so many dates. My whole life is one happy bottle of flowing wine, I think.
Okay, so I mean, you've been in the, I know you're single right now, but you're in a committed relationship, but obviously you've had a long dating life, have you not?
Yes, very long.
We almost needed a drum roll for that one, okay?
You're right.
Do you respect guys more that bring wine on the date, or does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, definitely if there's a meal, I would hope there's wine involved. I don't think it mattered. I do think probably if there was a meal involved with a date, and certainly the ones that had wine as a part of them were the more successful.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not going to judge
by
your
bottle. Whoa, stop. You're not letting that fly by. You just sort of threw that out there like, of course, the ones that brought wine were more successful, and then you just kept going. What do you mean? That if they brought wine, that the date was more romantic?
No, not necessarily that they brought wine. In fact, you know, I've been... part of my problem and part of the reason I probably can't answer this is I've worked as a wine journalist since I was 23. And so for most of my dating life, I think a lot of men that I knew would be intimidated to bring a bottle of wine to me because clearly, you know, this was my profession. So I'm perhaps not the norm. I wouldn't care if they brought me a bottle of wine or not, but certainly I would hope that if there's a meal, there would be wine involved.
Okay,
you know what I mean? Like we order a bottle of wine or we pick up a bottle of wine or whatever.
Okay, so this leads to an interesting question because, you know, one of the things that I run up against all the time is, first of all, I like wine. I know a bit about it. I love food. I'm a very good cook. People say to me all the time they don't want to cook for me because they know that I cook well, and they're intimidated to bring a bottle of wine to me because I'm perhaps more familiar with the wine than they might be. So what does somebody do in that situation, especially at a time like Valentine's Day when, you know, you probably want to bring something, but you may be bringing it to somebody who is a wine aficionado. So what do you do?
Well, I think, you know, why don't you pick something that you want to share with them? How about why don't you bring them one of your favorite wines? Or why don't you try to find something that you think, well, they've never seen before, and you kind of have that excitement of seeing if you can, you know, surprise them or stump them. Or why don't you bring a wine that has a happy memory for the two of you? Rather than being intimidated, make some kind of fun game out of it. And if you bring a wine that you particularly like and they turn up their nose, you know this is the wrong person anyway.
Yeah, well, that is definitely true. If you're just tuning in, it's Amy Riley. She is the author of the Love Diet Cookbook. She is the go-to girl when it comes to learning about the aphrodisiac qualities in food and wine. And she is also somebody who can give you great love advice because apparently she's an expert at that. And it turns out in previous occasions talking with Amy, I have done everything wrong in my life so far. Hey Amy, I was car shopping last weekend, and I had a beautiful car all picked out until I saw the Carfax, you know, that reports things that have happened to the car, you know. I thought, how cool would it be if they had a dating fax? Where somebody,
dating facts would be awesome.
Yeah, you could pull a report on the person and then know. You know what? I'd never go on another date again if they pulled one on me.
Well, I was going to say, there would be this big red line on yours that would say, this guy carries a neoprene case full of wine on first date.
And then how about for the women? It would show how many times they'd been in the body shop. But anyway, all right. So, all right, Amy, 30 seconds left, okay? So pick something for our fellows to take on a Valentine's date and pick something for the women real quick.
I am right there with the pink champagne or sparkling wine, and it should be for everyone. Everyone should be pink.
Oh, okay. So pink champagne. I like the sparkling wine idea. And if a woman's bringing something for the fellows, what should it be?
I'm telling you, everybody needs pink.
Either way.
Pink.
Okay, either way. Same thing for both. Hey, Amy, I really appreciate it a lot. Amy Riley, one of our all-time favorite guests, still in bed today. But you can find out more about what Amy is doing over at eatsomethingsexy.com. It'll change your life. Amy has changed mine. And much more to talk about, but so far, it's two votes for pink champagne on Grape Encounters Radio's pre-Valentine's Day show.
You're indulging yourself on Grape Encounters Radio on GrapeEncountersRadio.com. A tropical island vacation doesn't have to mean long lines of security, crowded flights, and a huge travel budget. You'll find breathtaking ocean views, tropical breezes, exceptional dining and shopping, plus hundreds of ways to have fun on land and sea, just 26 miles off the Southern California coast, on enchanting Catalina Island. And there's absolutely no better way to enjoy everything that Catalina has to offer than in your own private Catalina Island Vacation Rental. Catalina Island Vacation Rentals offers you the choice of nearly 200 island homes, cottages, and condos, including an amazing selection of beautifully appointed Hamilton Cove villas, which offer sweeping ocean views and even come with a golf cart. Savor a special glass of wine on your private balcony and let the magic of Catalina sweep you away. All Catalina Island Vacation Rental properties can be viewed online at catalinavacations.com. Make yourself at home with Catalina Island Vacation Rentals. You'll find your perfect island getaway at catalinavacations.com.
Looking for a really good wine club to join? I really recommend the original Wine of the Month Club. It's a really terrific wine club, and you will find a link to the Wine of the Month Club over at grapeencountersradio.com. This isn't a shameless paid endorsement. We're endorsing the Wine of the Month Club because we really, really believe in what they're doing over there, and we really think the quality of their products are out of this world. Also, just for fun, on grapeencountersradio.com, you will find a link to Papa Burt's, where you will find the wine sports bra. Yes, indeedy, it's a bra that you can fill up with a full bottle of your favorite wine. It is simply the best invention that we've found in a long time. So check out what we've got to offer over at grapeencountersradio.com, and be sure to also visit all of our other friends who are linked to grapeencountersradio.com. Check it out, folks. Hey, listen, if you guys want to discover some really amazing wines, wines that I recommend with all my heart and soul, then you need to go over to sarlosandsons.com. Or better yet, if you're in Los Olivos, California, you just want to check out their tasting room, because it's an incredible place to taste some incredible wines. They've just released the 2009 Mother, which is a Grenache Blanc that will blow your shorts off. Also, the 2009 In-Law, which is a whole cluster Pinot Noir, which is to die for. Also, the 2008 Father, which is 100% Syrah. And I love, love, love the Sarlos and Sons Syrahs, or the 2008 Sun, which is 100% estate-grown Cabernet. And finally, the 1947 Man and Wife, which is 100% estate grown from two vineyards. That's just a part of the list. There's so many more wines for you to enjoy, but I can tell you absolutely and completely that you will love everything you taste at Sarlos and Sons. It's sarlosandsons.com.
Your grape escape continues on Grape Encounters Radio, here on grapeencountersradio.com.
And it's the second half of Grape Encounters Radio. It's our pre-Valentine's Day show, Valentine's Day being just a little over a week away, and we are going from Amy Riley's bedroom to Wes Hagen's vineyard out in the Santa Rita Hills. We have Wes Hagen on. He is the winemaker. Of course, you would know this if you listen to the show, at Clopepe Vineyards. He is also a writer. He's authored a number of AVAs. He's a lecturer. A philosopher. You're a wine judge as well. You do it all, right?
Well, I try to, but I have to say that even looking out on a beautiful vineyard is not nearly as cool as being in Amy's bedroom. And I don't even know Amy.
Amy told us that she was in bed doing the show, and you know, other shows might have dug in a little deeper. You know, we think it's about the wine, so we didn't.
Well, it's just a class act, and the fact that you have a girlfriend now.
Yeah, that's probably it. Anyway, hey, Wes, I put on the show today some of our favorite guests because they are hopeless romantics, and I know for a fact that you are definitely one of those. You have a fabulous relationship with your wife, and you are a Renaissance man. Valentine's Day is coming up. I'm going to guess, though, that you probably hate holidays like Valentine's Day, right?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, I think, you know, to a certain extent, it's a Hallmark holiday. Does it really mean anything? I think it means a lot of things to a lot of people, and I think it reminds us that in a perfect world, we would have Valentine's Day every day. We would love the people around us. We would show them all the affection and the attention in the world, and I think that that is sort of what Valentine's Day is supposed to remind us is, through all the hurly-burly and the craziness of our daily lives, if we don't have the opportunity to wine, dine, and love the people around us, that this is the moment that it takes us to get back in touch with that.
Gosh, you're an upbeat lady.
All you need is love, baby. That's all you need. And a good bottle of wine, right?
You know, and Valentine's Day and wine do the exact same thing. Wine takes us out of our daily hurly-burly and reminds us to love the people around us. So wine and Valentine's Day are completely analogous. If you look at them, they do the exact same thing.
You know what? What's really interesting as you say that, it's an interesting thing about wine that it's something that you cannot really do fast. You know, wine is something that you have to, it slows you down. It's a definite smell the roses kind of a thing. And it does bring people together. It's something that absolutely positively has to be shared to be enjoyed to its fullest, I think, you know. So I think you're absolutely right. I will tell you that our prior guests all kind of, you know, made that comment about Valentine's Day being a Hallmark holiday. But I like your take on it, that it reminds us to love people all the time. I think I like that.
Well, I think what a ritual is really supposed to do, whether it be the ritual of opening a cork in a bottle of wine or the ritual in sort of partially sanitized rituals like Christmas and even New Year's Eve is sort of becoming a little bit sanitized. But a ritual used to be the time where you lost your rational mind, you went absolute crazy nuts, and you allowed yourself to go out of your regular frame of mind, so when you came back from that ritual, your life would be aligned, and the way you would see the world would be fundamentally different, and it would help you live your life, basically, and be guided through your life through these rituals. Valentine's Day has become a little bit sanitized, but what it really is about at its you know, most base is that it's time to forget everything rational and let our hearts take over and just to absolutely freak out for love. So, you know, I think even though it's been sanitized a little bit, I would say that at its base, it's kind of like sexual and raw. And that's who we are. If you go deep inside of us and strip away some of those outer layers, there are sort of raw sexual beings within us. And properly used, wine is a drug that can allow that sort of sexiness to emerge in good ways.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. I'm guessing you probably know a bit about Greek mythology, right?
More than you would like to know.
Okay, so let's talk about, it's Bacchus, right? And he had a couple of other names as well.
In the Greek tradition, it's Dionysus, and then, of course, the Romans stole it and become Bacchus. And there's a lot of similarities and a few differences.
And among other things, he is the god of wine, right? But I
Correct.
Think didn't wine make him go absolutely berserk and lose himself, as I recall?
Correct. The Dionysian cult was basically representing two aspects of human behavior. One was the wild abandon of the intoxicated experience, and part of it was the civilized and social aspect of wine at dinner, wine in proper company, wine allowing us to become philosophical, like when Aristophanes said, quickly bring me a flagon of wine so I may wet my brain and say something clever. That is the positive aspect. Cool thing about Greek gods, it's not like all about, like, you know, Jesus is all about good and the devil is all about bad. Greek mythology, all the gods were as human and fallible as humans. So Dionysus was not only about that wonderful cultured aspect of the vine, but he was also about the wild, crazy, violent abandon. At a certain point in a Dionysian ritual, the acolytes would literally rip a goat apart with their fingers and their teeth and eat it, and just eat it raw and just get all bloody and crazy. And that is sort of the darker aspects of wine intoxication. I mean, there's always one guy at the wine festival who just can't keep it together, and he's going nuts, or he's barfing in a trash can. And that reminds us that that's not where we want to go. Where we want to go is that wonderful romantic ritual where we slow down and we feel that wonderful glow that I am in a moment where I feel perfect with the people that I love, the food that I'm eating, and the wine that I'm drinking.
See, I said that you were a philosopher indeed. You know, I hate, by the way, when that happens, like when you have somebody over for dinner and you drink a little bit of wine and then somebody just reaches in and rips the goat apart. What a mess!
You know, I guess to a certain extent, that's probably one reason why we just serve meat on a plate and we carefully cut it up with steak knives. And that, to a certain extent, I mean, if you want to take completely, you know, we still are eating meat. We still are being kind of, you know, carnivorous in our behavior at table. It's just we do it with pleasant conversation and a nice knife and a fork, and we cook the meat so we don't look like savages. But, you know, it all goes back to the idea that we're eating another live human being. I guess, you know, PETA would have a much different perspective on that than someone in a Dionysian cult.
Yeah, well...
But, you know, it's, you know, again, to me, the romantic ritual of wine, you know, people have been using wine to sort of make themselves look better to their mates for, you know, 6,000-7,000 years. I mean, back in the Paleolithic era, when we think people were just knocking each other over the clubs and, you know, the head with clubs and dragging each other to caves to have their way with, you know, people, actually people were drinking wine. And during the Paleolithic, when wine was being drunk, I like to sort of call it, it's sort of like the Velvet Club. You know, you have some wine and hope that, you know, that our thoughts turn romantic. And it's something that we can enjoy with people, members of the opposite sex, to take that edge off, you know. I mean, when do you first hold her hand? When do you first give her a kiss on the cheek? When do you first make a move? I mean, that all becomes significantly easier and a little bit more deft to get from point A to point B once you've allowed yourself, you know, to remove some of your inhibitions, to take away some of your fears. You know, I always say, you know, wine is like, you know, what I say, wine and coffee are just like religion. They kind of help us do what we should be doing anyway. You know, so I think that really has that wonderful ability to sort of say, okay, I've had a few glasses of wine now, you know, my work and my BlackBerry, not so important. This beautiful woman in that gorgeous dress with those, you know, amazing curves, that's what I'm going to focus on because that's what's important. It strips away all the affectation in our life.
Oh my gosh, everybody out there in Grape Encounters land is just going, wow, this is getting pretty heavy. You know, we never get this heavy on Grape Encounters, but I'm loving it. Now, the thing I wanted to talk about, though, is this, you know, you're talking about to some degree intoxication, and I think people are listening to that, and they're thinking about the intoxication that comes from alcohol. But I have to say this. Like, the other night, there was a winemaker that sent me a couple of bottles of wine that were truly, truly extraordinary, and I had never heard of this place. They're boutique winemakers buying great grapes, making great wine, just in small quantities. But from the very first sip, Wes, that wine was so intoxicating. I mean, it's intoxicating like, you know, perfumes are intoxicating. You know, they send you to another dimension. So I really want to stress to people that intoxication, the kind of intoxication that loosens you up to have a good time, isn't always about the alcohol. It sometimes is just, there's so much more to it, you know, and that's why when people drink just sort of cruddy wine because they're drinking it like it was a beverage like Pepsi or Coke or whatever, you know, that's why they need to try something that's really spectacular and that's really got something more going on with it, because, you know, that kind of intoxication that comes from that craftsmanship and just, you know, everything that this wine gives off is way different than alcoholic intoxication. So there.
Yep, I would say that you're correct. Let me make an analogy. It's like ethanol, which is the alcohol that makes us feel giddy. Alcohol is like the sexual organs. And if you think that all that wine does is gets the organs moving or together, then you've missed the point, because sex isn't all about sex organs per se. I mean, obviously, in the end, wine would not be a popular beverage if it did not have alcohol in it, the same way sex would be difficult without sexual organs. If you think all that sex is about is putting point A to point B, then I think you've missed about 80% of it. And if you think ethanol is all that there is to say about wine, then, you know, why aren't you just drinking Everclear? So I think that it's
right,
all about
right.
Sort of the essence, the flavor, the company. I think, you know, obviously I always say I'd rather drink, you know, bad wine with friends than excellent wine with jerks. It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's all part of the experience of who you're drinking with, what you're drinking, and, you know, truly, I mean, slow down and smell the roses
is a perfect
phrase for thinking about
wine. Well, we got Wes Hagen on here. I'm so glad, Wes, you are a fabulous winemaker out at Clopepe on the central coast of California, for those who may be listening online or on one of our more distant stations. But you have so much to say. The one thing that we wanted to ask you before we get off, because we only got like a minute left, and not even that, is if you're going to pick one wine, one wine type beverage for Valentine's Day, what's it going to be?
It's got to be Brachetto. It's got to be this beautiful, sparkling red wine from Tuscany. Brachetto is the grape. It's also the region. The one that you can look for locally is called Rosa Regale. That's two words, Rosa Regale, R-E-G-A-L-E. Rosa Regale is made by Banfi. It's a slightly sweet, macerated red wine that is sparkling. So it is a sweet, sparkling red wine, and I like to call it the sluttiest wine on the planet.
Wes, nobody could put it better than you, and there is more Grape Encounters coming. There's still more. What a show we are having today.
We are far from ready to put a cork in it yet. You're listening to Grape Encounters Radio on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
As I look back over the last year and a half, it's amazing to me how many of the guests that we've had on Grape Encounters Radio came to us through Facebook. You know, it's staggering how big the wine-loving community is on Facebook. And we really, really want you to become a member of the Grape Encounters Radio group page. So please, next time you're on Facebook, just search for Grape Encounters Radio. You'll find our group page and join the crowd and join the fun. You're going to discover a whole lot of really interesting people there. And if you just peruse the posts on Grape Encounters Radio, I think you'll make some additional friends that will really, really expand your wine-loving experience. Again, it's Grape Encounters Radio on Facebook. It's the Grape Encounters Radio Facebook group page. And we really, really want you to become our friend. And by the way, when you're there, let us know topics that you'd like us to talk about on Grape Encounters Radio. Looking for a really good wine club to join? I really recommend the original Wine of the Month Club. It's a really terrific wine club, and you will find a link to the Wine of the Month Club over at GrapeEncountersRadio.com. This isn't a shameless paid endorsement. We're endorsing the Wine of the Month Club because we really, really believe in what they're doing over there, and we really think the quality of their products are out of this world. Also, just for fun, on GrapeEncountersRadio.com, you will find a link to Papa Burt's, where you will find the wine sports bra. Yes, indeedy, it's a bra that you can fill up with a full bottle of your favorite wine. It is simply the best invention that we've found in a long time. So check out what we've got to offer over at GrapeEncountersRadio.com, and be sure to also visit all of our other friends who are linked to GrapeEncountersRadio.com. Check it out, folks. A little over a year and a half ago, I was doing some wine tasting in Los Olivos, California, and I accidentally wandered into a new tasting room called Sarlos & Sons, and at the time I couldn't even pronounce the name. But boy, can I pronounce it now, because the Sarlos family has become great friends with Grape Encounters Radio. And not only are they a great family to know, they make some of the best wines that I've ever tasted, and they are staples in my household. So I want to steer you over to sarlosandsons.com, because if you're looking for wines that you can buy that you know are going to be absolutely fabulous, then this is the place to go. No matter what you pay for their wines, I guarantee you that you will find an absolutely outstanding value at Sarlos & Sons. There's not a single wine on their wine list that will disappoint you. This is really, really something that I can recommend with all my heart and soul. It's sarlosandsons.com. The Sarlos wines are absolutely out of this world. It cracks me up when I think about the beginning of the Grape Encounters Radio website. When we first put it up, we had visitors to the tune of about two or three or four every single day, and I wondered what we were doing that for. But now we've got literally thousands of people visiting the website every single day, and we encourage you to do exactly the same. Go over to GrapeEncountersRadio.com. There you will find our complete archive of every single show that we've done for the last year and a half. You'll also find links to all of the friends that we've made on Grape Encounters Radio. You'll also find our Grape Encounters Radio blog and our Grape Encounters Radio photo gallery, which has photos of many of the people that we've had here on the show. Please wander on over to GrapeEncountersRadio.com. You can also send us a note there. It's a great way to reach us. Just let us know your comments about the show. Let us know if you have somebody interesting that you'd like to put on the show, or things that you'd like us to talk about on Grape Encounters Radio.
good to the last drop. Still time for more Grape Encounters Radio here on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
We are not done with cool people. One more cool person, somebody we had on some months ago when she was the director of the Santa Maria Valley Wine Country on the central coast of California. But I guess we should play the Moving On Up theme song because now she is the executive director of the Santa Ynez Valley Visitors Association. It's not fair to say Moving On Up because they're both great places, but it's Katie Fleckenstein. Hey, thanks for joining us, Katie. You got a big event coming up on Valentine's Day.
We sure do. It's called Wine Around the Santa Valley.
I know. You know what? I wanted to talk about this, not to give you a shameless plug for the event. You know, we were talking earlier to a couple of guests who really made the point that Valentine's Day shouldn't be all about buying a Hallmark card and a heart-shaped box of chocolate, that, you know, maybe it's just a day to really enjoy one another, that maybe it should just be a time to have fun mutually, not just a holiday for the girls, not just a holiday for the guys. And I really like that idea of just going out and doing something that's super romantic and fun. And this just seemed like a really great idea. So if you don't mind, give me the lowdown on the Wine Around.
Sure, sure. Wine Around is great because it gives your partner or your friend, whoever you decide to bring, that personal experience that you really can't create with an item such as jewelry or chocolates or anything like that. So what's exciting about Wine Around is it's on February 14th, so it's actually on Valentine's Day, as well as the day after on the 15th, and it's two full days of exclusive wine events. So it gives people a chance to look at three prominent Santa Barbara wineries. So we have Foley, Best Parker, and Bridalwood. So these are pretty well-known wineries in Santa Barbara County.
Yeah, really good wineries. And I do want to say this because our terrestrial radio listeners may or may not be in the area. And then, of course, we have a lot of people that tune in online from all over the world. So, you know, I want to stress that even if you don't go to an event like this, this is really a great way to enjoy wine. And I just encourage people to not just go to the wine tasting rooms, but, you know, get out to the vineyards and, you know, get amongst the grapes and experience it firsthand, because when you just get out and see the vineyards and everything firsthand, it just changes your whole perspective, doesn't it?
It does. And what's special about these events are that you'll be able to actually meet the winemakers. You'll be able to do barrel samples. There will be some vertical tasting, so you can actually compare the different vintages and the different years of wine and see what you like best, as well as food, live music. So it really creates that romantic atmosphere, but at the same time, you can have a lot of fun and not worry about it being too stodgy.
You know, let's talk about barrel tastings for a second, because that's something, a term that people hear, but I would say probably, I'm just going to guess, that probably, you know, 1 in 100 people actually do it, right? But it is something that a lot of wineries offer. So how does that work?
They usually offer it during special events. You don't usually get to do barrel samples in a tasting room because the wine's actually not complete yet. Usually a barrel sample can be anywhere from the beginning of the winemaking process through the end. Oftentimes, if they're actually letting you taste it, it's towards the end of the process. So it might not have gone through malolactic fermentation yet. So it might still be going through that process. So for instance, a Chardonnay that you might be tasting in a barrel sample might have a little more acidity or fruitiness.
Right.
From a barrel sample, but then when it's bottled, it might be a little bit more buttery and rich.
You know, if you get a chance to go into a barrel room and do a barrel tasting, and like I said, there are some winemakers that do offer those opportunities. So you got to kind of keep your eye peeled for that. It'll change your whole perspective on wine. It's a completely different way of experiencing wine. The wine tastes different, and oh my gosh, the odor in the barrel room is so scintillating. Oh my gosh.
It is. It's an extremely sensual experience, I think, to actually taste the wine in the environment in which it's made.
I'll tell you what, you know what, if you could have your Valentine's Day dinner in a barrel room, I guarantee you that it'll be romantic. It'll be romantic. Hey, can we talk about romance a little bit, Katie? Because you are
you are
a young and beautiful and single woman.
Yes,
and,
I am.
This is, and Grape Encounters, a lot of people think it's a dating show for people who drink wine because of the name. But can I ask you some dating questions, really, seriously, since we're talking Valentine's Day?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, so here's a question for you. When was the first time that you went on a date and had wine?
Oh, goodness.
And were you underage?
No, of course not. I never sipped wine until I was 21. Let's see.
Yeah, sure.
I would say probably the first time would be, out to dinner, honestly, either that or making dinner at home and just trying out a few bottles from probably originally from Trader Joe's, to be honest with you.
Oh, really? Now, you're kind of a youngster. I'm not going to tell people your age on the air, but suffice to say that you still have that youthful glow. So I can understand that you would have got wine from Trader Joe's. Do you remember what it was by chance?
I think I actually started out on Pinot Grigio.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough. Now, do you think that wine improves a relationship? I asked our other guests this. In other words, is a date going to go better with a bottle of wine or not?
Much, much, much better. Because even if the other person's not as into wine as you are, you have something to talk about. You can talk about where the wine comes from, the different flavors of the wine. Obviously, you're going to be feeling better if you're drinking wine than if you're not drinking wine. And it just gives the meal a little bit more complexity. And I think just the romance of opening a bottle of wine is worth ordering the wine.
Okay, so here we got time for one last question. So a guy brings a bottle of wine to you on a date. Should he tell you about the wine? And if it's a good wine, should he let you know that it's a good wine? Or should he just shut up?
He should probably just give me the wine and let me decide for myself. But I do love a backstory. So if there's a good backstory, I would love to hear it.
Okay, so we want the backstory on Wine Around, but they're going to have to go find it on your website. I think they can go to SantaYanezValleyVisit.com. And then it's /winearound, right? And,
exactly.
Yeah, and you can get tickets right now for this. What a great way to spend Valentine's Day. So, Katie, I wish you the best of luck at this event. It's going to be a great fun. You've got some great wineries involved. It's a great itinerary. I wish we had more time to talk about it. But maybe we can get you on just for a minute next week and just remind people about the event. Sound
sure
good?
Thing. And an important thing to note is that transportation is included.
Okay, that is terrific because you don't have to drive. And gosh, that's about it. Hey, what kind of wine or champagne should somebody have for Valentine's Day? What's your pick?
Ooh, sparkling rosé.
Oh, man, who would have thunk it? 4 for 4. All 4 of my guests saying pink bubbly. I can't believe it. I would have thought of all kinds of other choices from this group. But what do you know? We have consensus on Grape Encounters Radio. Hey, thanks, Katie, very much. Katie Fleckenstein from the Santa Ynez Valley Visitors Association. And check out SantaYanezValleyVisit.com for the wine around. That's going to do it for Grape Encounters Radio. Thanks for joining us, folks. We'll be back. Thanks.
Catch all of our previous episodes on Grape Encounters Radio. .com. We are here 24/7 whenever you feel like uncorking one together. Read.